I want to speak to you on the 12th verse of Hosea chapter 8. I have written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. God is using the prophet Hosea in a ministry that's mostly to the northern kingdom of the land of Israel. At this time, the whole territory of Israel was divided in two. There were 10 tribes to the north, very often called Israel, very often called Ephraim, and there were the remaining tribes to the south, generally known as Judah. The theme of the book is backsliding and the call to return and to repent. And in this particular section, God is showing to the people and to us something marvelous, something wonderful about the Bible. The Bible as Israel had it in their day, the Bible as we have it now. And I want us today, for the remainder of our meeting, to think about the Bible from what verse 12 has to tell us about it. I want you to notice, first of all, its designation, first of all. He says, I have written to him the great things of my law. That word law is a word that's used very often for scriptures, for the word of God. You will remember that in Psalm 1, the psalmist, who is the blessed man, walked not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sat in the way of sinners, but his delight was in the law of God, and in his law did meditate day and night. So the law of God is described as the scriptures. In Psalm 19, verse 7, the psalmist writes, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So he was talking about the scriptures as he had it then. And a prayer that very often we pray, and we should pray whenever we're coming to the word of God for our daily Bible reading, is found in Psalm 119 and in verse 18. Here's the prayer. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Now, the law is the Bible. There are wondrous things there. We need our eyes open to them. If we're going to understand the Bible, we need our eyes open. And it's God who does the opening of the eye. So, here's the designation. And he calls it my law. It's my law. It's not man's law. God's law is above man's law. And if man's laws are going to be good laws, they will be based on the bedrock of Holy Scripture. Scripture is God's law to prevent evil. You think of what society would be like if it made an honest endeavor to obey the Ten Commandments week by week. Scriptures are God's law, not only to prevent evil, but to foster well-being and good. God's law is scripture that, if it's obeyed, will always lead to the pleasing of God. We read of the Lord Jesus in prophecy that the law is in his heart. We read that in different parts of God's word. The law is in his heart. He said on one occasion, I do always those things that please him. That's what Jesus said about his heavenly Father when he was exercising his ministry on earth. I do always those things that please him. Why? He was made under the law. He magnified it and made it honorable. So whenever you're looking at God's word, it's called many things in the Bible, especially in Psalm 119. Generally, we call it the Holy Scriptures. Generally, we call it the Bible. But it is known as the law. And remember that whenever you come to it, it's God's law. The Bible is God's word. Its designation, my law. But notice secondly, its description. He describes it as great. I have written to him the great things of my law. Now, if God says something's great, there can be no exaggeration. It must be great. We read whenever the world was created in Genesis 1 verses 16 and 21, he spoke about the two great lights that were in the firmament, one to rule the day and the other to rule the night, the sun and the moon. He calls them great lights. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, he says, whenever you're persecuted, rejoice. He says, pray for those that despitefully use you and rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. My, the reward that a man or a woman of God gets for living the Christian life, and in this particular instance of suffering persecution, is called great. Whenever the woman came to ask the Lord Jesus about her wee daughter that was lying at home grievously tormented by the devil, and the Lord Jesus ignored her for a while, never seemed to take her under his notice. Whenever she took his words that he was speaking, when he did speak, and turned them to good account, and made an argument out of them why he should do for her what she was wanting, this is what he said, "O woman, great is thy faith." Now, there are great things in the Bible, but in this particular verse that we're looking at, he's telling us that there are great things in his law, great things in the Bible. For instance, think of the deeds that there are. How the world began. God created it. 6 days. 24-hour periods. God created the world. And each day is a segment of a 24-hour time. Think of the deeds that were wrought in the creation of the world. How God destroyed the world. You read that in the days of Noah. We're many millions, perhaps billions of people in the earth in the days of Noah. And this is what God says. He says, all flesh has corrupted my way. And the Bible says, it repented God that he made the earth. And he said he only found one family that was walking according to his will at that time. Noah, his wife, his children, and their children. Probably four families in all, but one extended family. And whenever the floods came, pardon me, Noah was building, they told to build the ark because the flood was coming. And you can well imagine how they scoffed at him, they laughed at him. But whenever the rain began to fall, and whenever the waters began to rise, and the raft or the ark rose with those waters, and the people realized this is serious, and cried for a way into the ark. They couldn't get it because God had shut the door. And then, not only did the rains come down, but the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And the world was submerged in water. What a great thing it was for this world to be destroyed. Then again, centuries later, whenever God's people of promise and covenant were serfs and slaves in Egypt, God said, it's time for my people to be let free. And Moses and Aaron went in before Pharaoh, who said, who is this God that I should obey him? He soon found out, whenever God sent the plagues and then killed the firstborn in Egypt where there was no blood on their doorposts. Great things of my law. Think of how God sustained them going through the wilderness for 40 years. Think of how God brought them through the River Jordan. And then how God helped them in the land of promise. But then think of the doctrines. There are many doctrines in God's word of great importance. The doctrine of justification by faith. The doctrine of regeneration. The doctrine of God's eternal salvation and redemption. These and many others. Think of the promises that there are. Whenever you look at the deeds, whenever you look at the doctrines, whenever you look at the promises, you've got to say, there are great things in God's law. Many promises. Promises to suit every circumstance that you may find yourself in. Let me move on to something else. Not only the designation of Scripture, God's law, not only the description of it, great things, but notice its communication. He says in this verse, I have written to him the great things of my law. Are you not glad today that God has given us a written record of His will? If we heard the voice from the excellent glory, yes, that would be thrilling. But we can so easily forget the things that are said to us, especially whenever you get older. You know that. Or if something happens, you get a knock on the head and you suffer amnesia. You lost your memory. How could you remember things? But we have God's Word. God has given us everything that we need to become a Christian and to live the Christian life triumphantly here in the Word of God. So that if our minds grow feeble, or if we're absent-minded, we can always come back to the book. We can always come to God's Word and learn it. Memorize it if we can, but if we can't do that, at least we can consult it and check the record. God has given to us His Word in all its fullness by writing. He gave us His Word over a period of about 1,500 years. From Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible until John wrote the book of Revelation. About 1,500 years by about 40 different authors whom God, in a most unique way, gave the thoughts to, took their own style as they would write. God inspired Holy Scripture, and He used these men to do that. And that's why you take the writings of Paul and you'll see a difference in them and the writings of Peter, the writings of John and the writings of Paul and James. Their personalities come out. And yet, at the same time, they were writing what God wants to give them. The Word of God was communicated by writing. It was made known to the people. And it has been preserved through all of these centuries. I was telling the young people in Clowness School, where I go in each week to have a class there every Wednesday morning, and I was showing them how we got our Bible. It took 3 weeks or so dealing with how the Bible came about to us, and how during the Reformation times that Bible was opposed by the Roman Catholic Church. And this priest in the neighborhood heard that a Bible had been obtained in his parish. And they wanted to stamp out the Bible. Only the priests could interpret the Bible for you. And it took a man a year's wages before he could even purchase a Bible in those days. And the Bibles were big things. They were not nice pocket Bibles that we can slip in our pocket, or we can put in our handbag if we're coming to church. They were bigger. And a neighbor came rushing in and said, "Father so-and-so is on his rounds here. He has heard that there's a Bible in the neighborhood." And very quickly, the father of the house did something. He hid the Bible, got it hidden. And then the priest came in, and the priest, no polite knock at the door waiting to be admitted, just stormed in and said, "I understand there is a copy of the heretic's Bible here. I want to look for it." And they said, "Go right ahead." Searched everywhere. Almost everywhere. Couldn't find it. Came down the stairs again, said, "I see no evidence of any Bible in this house. Must be the wrong house." So he sat down on a big stool and he rubbed his brow. He said, "I'm telling you now, if you know of anybody that brings the heretic's Bible," that's the Bible that the Protestants were using, "let me know about it. It has to be disposed of." And they got up from the seat and went out the door, and they checked that he was well out of the street, and then they burst out laughing. And they went to the stool that the priest was sitting on. There was a false bottom in the stool. The father pulled out the drawer and took out the copy of God's Word. Now, something like that happened around that same period in another one of the countries. Again, the priest was on his rounds, and this woman was baking a big loaf, and she didn't have much time to dispose of the Bible to get it hidden before the priest came in. She put it into the dough and baked the cake over it. The Bible was preserved, and he never discovered it either. God will preserve His Word, my dear friend, And he did preserve it, even though it was chained by the Roman Catholic Church in the days of Luther and Calvin and Knox, yet, and the other reformers, yet God preserved it. And look at the copies that we have today. And even though there are many translations, many of those translations are not true translations at all, yet through it all, God has preserved the text and the manuscripts of God's word from which translations are taken from. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. That's what that phrase means, inspiration. God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. And Peter takes that up in one of his letters, and he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We want to thank God that not only has He given us His Word, but He has preserved it. But notice very quickly in the fourth place, not only its designation, its description, its communication, but notice its application. I have written to him. God's Word is for individuals. Now the him here is just a way of describing Israel. Ephraim was one of Joseph's children. The children of Israel take their name very often from him and God's word. The tribe of Ephraim was actually known as just Israel or Ephraim. And what God is saying is, I have written to him. And that's to every one of us. The word of God is applied to every one of us. This is the purpose of God's word, that we would know it, that God's people would know the word of God. And my dear friend, there is no excuse for you not knowing it. You have it in your homes. Most of you, if not all of you. Which begs the question, are you grateful for it? You thank God for giving you a copy of God's word, which begs an even more personal question. Do you read it? Do you read it? Do you actually take the Bible out and read it? Let me ask you, do you read it with regularity? Or, if a crisis comes into your life, if a problem comes, is it only then that you take the word of God out and look for some place? I wonder where that is where I could get some comfort here. Oh dear, where do I go to find help in this particular situation? Or is your knowledge of the Bible a working knowledge that you know that this psalm would help you out with the type of trouble that you're having? Or some part in the epistles of Paul that you could go to help you with a difficult query? My dear friend, we need to read the Word of God with regularity. Not just whenever trouble comes into our home. We need to read it with thought as well. It will not do to say, to solve your conscience, to say, there, I've read my Bible today. And you've read maybe a few verses and you couldn't even tell what they were about 10 minutes later. That doesn't do, friend. If you were looking through a catalogue to make an order, or you go on the computer and do some shopping online, you want to know what the stuff's about, and you know how to get to the place. Well, it's the same with God's Word. We need to know our way round the Bible far better than we do any other items or any other books. We need to do it with thought. And of course, we need to do it with prayer. That's why I said earlier, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Take God's word, and whenever you're coming for your quiet time, and you get that quietness, and look for your best time each day, say, now Lord, there are wonderful things in the Bible, but you've got to open my eyes to them. Show me something now as I begin to read this section. Come to it with prayer. Come to it with expectation. Don't say, well, this is God's word. It's my duty to do it. It's not going to do me any good. Friend, it will do you good. And expect God to speak to you. The Lord Jesus, God's word, the Lord Jesus quoted it. Where from Deuteronomy? He quoted it when he was being tempted of the devil. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's how you live and become strong in the Christian life to deal with issues, to deal with problems. What does the Word of God say about how I should go about this? Let me say one other thing. Do it systematically. You might say, well, preacher, I need to read the Bible more. I'm going to start today. And you read John's Gospel today. You read a part of John's Gospel today. And you know, before you go to bed at night, it would be good to read a wee bit, no matter how tired you are. I'll read a wee psalm. And maybe tomorrow morning, you'll go to the book of Romans and read a wee verse or two there. And then tomorrow night, back to Proverbs. Friend, don't do it that way. Stay in John's Gospel. If you're going to read in the morning, stay in John's Gospel till you've read, or whatever book you choose. If you're going to read a wee bit in the afternoon, stay in that book. If you're going to read a wee bit at night, if you feel that you're not too tired and you're not losing your concentration, stay in the book. I have my own system. It's systematic for mornings and for lunchtime, after lunch. And I would advise you to develop a system. And generally at night when I come in, I'll be so tired, I unwind and I'll just be selective in what I read before I go to bed. But in the morning time when I'm fresher and around lunchtime, I have particular plans of reading God's Word. And I want to say it stands me in good stead. It develops discipline. And it will get you through the Bible in a great way. And never worry about trying to read the Bible through in a year. If you can do it, that's good. But it's far better to take 3 or 4 years and know what you're reading, rather than just say, oh, I've read 4 or 5 chapters today and can't tell what they're about. Read it with system. But above all, let it be applied to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. I finished with one more thing. We've seen its designation, its description, its communication, its application. But notice lastly, its rejection. He says here in verse 12, I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing. I checked that word strange last night. It means alien. What God was saying, that these people are treating my scriptures as an alien thing. Now remember, these were people that were in covenant. These were God's covenant people. These were people that God had obligated himself to and bound himself to undertake to bring them throughout life. And yet they said, my word that I've given them, the great things in my law, they just treat them as something that's an alien. Are we any better? Are we indifferent when we come to God's Word? Are we ignorant? There was a young fella, a young man, he became a great preacher, but he said, I was listening to somebody telling me this particular story. A man was reading the story of David and Goliath and talking about it. And an older man said, oh, he says, that's a fascinating story. Where does that come from? And the boy says, it's from 1 Samuel, gave him the chapters. He says, oh, it's in the Bible. Is that story in the Bible? He hadn't a clue. And those were in days when the Bible was more widely read than what it is now. So we can be indifferent to it. We can be ignorant to it. The message could be hated. Whenever God's word came to these people and Hosea was calling them back to God, God says, my message is counted as a strange thing. They are despising and hating the word. Or, as most people do, they'll not come out and say they hate it or think it's dull and no time. They just neglect it. I wonder if we've been neglecting. I wonder, am I speaking to one of God's people here and you haven't read the Bible from you took it with you to church last Sunday? Or maybe even before that. Of a woman. And this particular woman, she was reading her Bible one day. And the knock came to the door. And she stuck her glasses in the Bible. And the woman engaged her, had a chat with her at the door. And then she said, oh, she says, my husband's be getting home for his lunch. I've nothing ready. She says, I have to go. So she got the lunch on, got it ready. later, she couldn't find her glasses. She couldn't find them for weeks. One day, she was doing a wee bit of dusting around that particular place, and she lifted the Bible to dust under it, and she noticed the Bible a bit bulky, and her glasses were in it. She found her glasses. But if she'd read her Bible regularly, daily, she would have found her glasses long before the time she did. Don't you count the great things out of God's law to be things that are strange and alien. Let's get back to the Word of God, my dear friend. Let's take stock of our lives. Let's make daily, systematic, regular, prayerful, expectant Bible reading a part of our everyday living. And what a change it will make to our lives. And if you're not a Christian, the Bible says, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. The Word of God says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine whether I speak of myself. That's what the Lord Jesus said. And if you keep reading God's word with an open mind and ask the Lord to guide you, he'll bring you face to face with himself. And who knows, but you'll yield and become a child of God. Let it not be said of us, as God looks on us as a company this morning, I've written to him the great things of my law, but they were counted as a strange thing.